I like sitting backwards on chairs. It's actually more comfortable.
Welcome to the Stone Creek Coffee Podcast. We're geeks talking coffee. We've been talking coffee for a year now, which is pretty awesome. Today we're going to do something a little bit different, fielding a lot of your questions. We've been asking for your questions on our social medias, Instagrams, and Twitters. And we're going to tackle some of these and then give you some free coffee. So if we used your question, we said your name, don't worry, we're going to reach out to you and make sure you get some farm-to-cup yumminess on us. Before we get rolling, if you're new to the podcast, go back and check out the 25 episodes we have before this. Over this year, we've talked about a lot of stuff. Cold brew, manual brewing, other things.
Flavor profiles, we talked roast, we talked processing, we talked... Talked lots of coffee
pumpkin
stuff. Pumpkin spice. That was
a
fun
good one.
Yeah.
Water. We talked about a lot. And it's been fun. I mean, we started this thing because we wanted to have a good time, and we've enjoyed it. Hopefully you have as well. If you have feedback for us, please send it to us at podcast@stonecreekcoffee.com or leave a review on iTunes. That would also be awesome. We'd love to know what you think. If you have recommendations for us, if you have topics you'd like us to tackle, do it. Send it to us. We'd love to hear from you. So just kind of in review before we get into some of these topics that you kicked over to us for this episode, Christian, just what are your thoughts on doing this, doing a coffee podcast? Because when we started, like there have actually been a couple podcasts get rolling since we started a year ago that have taken off.
When we first kind of ventured off into this, I didn't know if it was actually going to happen. Because we had, someday you'll probably get to see some of our demo tapes. We were doing this for maybe 3 months before we actually launched the podcast, and it took us that long to kind of find our niche. But what I really do enjoy is the fact that we can just kind of be ourselves and talk coffee, and I like the educational aspect of our podcast. I think there's something kind of accessible about the way that we do things. And that's just kind of who we are as people. Like we're down to earth, Midwest, good, fun folk that like to geek out about our coffee, and we like to share and talk about anything that's really possible. And it's always a fun experience.
Yeah, it's been fun for me to have sort of an outlet for coffee because most of my work on a daily basis involves teams and business and ROI and. Although I love sort of doing that kind of work, I got into coffee because it's one of the things in life that I love. And so being able to just sit down and chat for a while about coffee and how to get other people more excited about it is really just a fun outlet for me. And I would agree that I like, and we're really pushed to do this with the podcast by our co-owner, Eric. To be educational and to be accessible, because there are other coffee podcasts that are really great and I enjoy listening to, but they're not really for somebody who's just, they love coffee and so they stumble upon a coffee podcast. A lot of the jargon goes right over their heads, and we try and clarify anytime we use jargon, what do we mean? What do we mean when we say extraction? What do we mean when we say tamp? That kind of stuff. So somebody listening gets what we're talking about, whether or not they're like a fully fledged coffee geek who works as a barista or director of coffee, or they're, you know, somebody just brewing their cup on their Mr. Coffee Pot who just loves coffee and wants to learn a little bit more about it. It's a rewarding thing to get an email from somebody and say, hey, you're teaching me about coffee. I really appreciate the effort you guys are taking. That's cool, because like I said, we just do this for fun, so knowing that people appreciate it is kind of nice. So to those of you who appreciate it enough to throw a question at us, we will start by... Hold that thought. My paper's stuck to the ground. We'll start by tackling some of these questions. And if you hear chewing, it's because we're kind of celebrating today. We have coffee from Papua New Guinea that's going to come out as a lab, right?
It'll be coming out May 5th, so just before you hear this podcast. That's right.
No, it's just after, because this
after.
Is a week.
This is going on Monday?
Yeah. So, like...
So, just bef- just after.
Right, the Thursday. So you're going to hear this on Monday, potentially. That Thursday. So this is really solid, though. And I mentioned to Christian, this doesn't taste like a Papua New Guinea, which can very often taste like Sumatran coffees, which is why I don't necessarily go for them right away. But he said, taste this, and it tastes very similar to something I would anticipate tasting in Guatemala.
Yeah, it kind of has the juiciness of a Guatemala, and it has kind of that exotic fruitness of an African, like a really solid African coffee. And Papua New Guinea is such a weird place. Like, I don't buy there on a regular basis. I would like to, but the lots are wildly inconsistent. One year, they'll taste like burlap and, you know, gravel and earth, which is not good. And then the next time you taste them, they could just be this bouquet of really exotic fruits, and a lot of it's due to country and infrastructure and money and stuff that's probably pretty boring, but no, this coffee it's pretty good.
Yeah, I thought so. So I've got that with a super scone from our kitchen upstairs, and we have beer for the second half because, well, that's kind of our MO when we do this.
Let's do the easy low-hanging fruit. So kjohnson.fisher asked, are there any differences in brewing techniques along the lines of flavor, color, etc.? And one I want to answer even more is, what's your favorite brewing method? Because if we listen back a couple podcasts, we did cover kind of manual brewing techniques.
Yeah, that's a couple. That's like 15 episodes
ago.
Well,
15 episodes back, but we can do a quick recap on mm-hmm, what manual brewing mm-hmm. methods do. So if you want a clean cup of coffee, clean meaning really, really silky mouthfeel, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of stuff on your palate, I recommend using some kind of filtered technique, using a paper filter. Like a V60 is a really easy way of doing that. Your Mr. Coffee is technically the same kind of brew method. If you want something that's a little heavier, a little oilier, that leaves some undissolved solids in there, use a French press, or you could use an AeroPress with a modified screen on it. Mm-hmm. If you want to amp up the acidity, pour over updose. Updose meaning more grounds per amount of water.
In terms of flavor, as Christian said, if you want a clean, acidic cup of coffee, generally go with a pour over, being V60 from Hario, Kalita Wave, or Chemex. And those, when you pour them, because the filters are really fine, tend to be really clear looking. Whereas if you're brewing a French press or an AeroPress, or even in some automatic drip methods, I've seen the coffee is actually visibly murky because the filter's not quite as fine, or it's a metal filter. And those tend to be higher-bodied coffees, that the acidity isn't quite as pronounced, and the flavor notes don't come through with as much clarity, but it tends to be sort of a bigger mouthfeel, which a lot of people appreciate. That bigger mouthfeel and the presence of murkiness in your coffee doesn't necessarily mean it is stronger in terms of dissolved solids. That really is more dependent on how much coffee you put in your brew method.
So what's your favorite?
It's hard because...
It's like choosing your favorite child, yeah, isn't it?
I think... Well, I only have one, so it's easy for me to choose my favorite child. I would say my favorite brew method is pour over. I mean, I definitely like that better than AeroPress or French press. Although an AeroPress is fun to make, I will say that. And then I normally brew with a V60 at work because I'm just brewing for me 9 times out of 10. And then at home, my wife and I will share a Chemex on the weekend. So at home, though, we also have the Clever. We have a V60. We have an AeroPress. So we'll make the rounds. But those are V60 and Chemex is primarily what I go for.
I'm the same way. I kind of have a library of sorts. I actually have an entire bookshelf dedicated to brew methods at home, so I have like one of everything that I can get my hands on. And I find myself going back to the V60 time and time again. I just like that really clean, really bright, acidic cup of coffee. It doesn't mean that all coffees out of it are acidic. It just kind of highlights that brew method. And I'll say I also love the AeroPress, and I would not have survived my last Origin trip without it. I did a quote-unquote sin, and I ground my coffee here, but I had fresh coffee the entire time I was at Origin. Very easy to do that in a hotel room with a little crappy hotel brewer. Just heat up the hot water, pour in a handful of grounds, no scale, totally roughing it. Coffee grounds in, water in, stir it, pressed it, and an awesome cup of coffee every time.
And it's not hard to get, if you're brewing it yourself, to get a better cup of coffee that way than to drink what is at Origin, because it's normally pretty bad, if it's there at all. On travel days, it's often not there. So thank you, kjohnson.fisher. I see you actually like our Instagram stuff a lot, so I think you're a certified coffee geek and fan. So props to you. What next? Oh, let's do pencil writing underscore. I don't know why you put an underscore at the end of that.
Because pencil writing was taken.
Oh.
It wanted like the
pencil
handle.
Pencil writing 123.
Underscore, yeah.
What are some of your favorite coffee shops in the U.S.? This is an interesting thing to answer on the Stone Creek Coffee podcast. So I will preface, and I mean this with authenticity, I'm always happy to come back to Milwaukee and go to a Stone Creek Coffee shop. That's not what you're asking, but you sort of get used to something and the familiarity, and I know that plays into it, like the familiarity of Stone Creek Coffee for me, but I'm also so proud of the work that gets done here, and I think the coffee is of such high quality in terms of sourcing and roasting and how the baristas handle it, that I'm more confident in the experience I'll get here than anywhere else. So I definitely love Stone Creek Coffee and would choose it probably. And if I had to choose one coffee company for the rest of my life to drink, it would definitely be Stone Creek because of my confidence level in it.
Right, so stepping down off your soapbox.
It's not a soapbox. I'm just
saying, totally agree with everything you're saying, yeah. And I'm pretty sure that most people out there do too.
Mm-hmm.
Fingers
mm-hmm.
crossed.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're not at Stone Creek or when you're traveling,
mm-hmm.
where do you really like to go?
So when I go home, there's no specialty coffee. This is hard for me. Why don't you start with this? I'll think about it for a minute.
So I can preface my answer by saying I've only been to a handful of places in the United States, so I haven't been every place. So if you want me to come visit, just fly me out there. I'll visit and I'll review your cafe for you. That sounds great. A coffee shop that I continually think about and I've had consistently good coffee from is Ristretto Roasters out in Portland, Oregon. The first time I walked in there, I had a banging Mexico espresso, and every single time I've gone back, I think I've been to the cafe 3 times, and I've ordered their coffee a handful of times just because they have some unique varieties and also some good people working there, but really, really consistent, really banging coffee every single time I go in there. I like going to Azahar in Bogota, Colombia. I've been there twice, but Azahar is a container kiosk coffee shop / green coffee exporter. They do a really good job sourcing and roasting their coffees and just had a really excellent experience there. Actually, most of my favorite coffee shops aren't even in the United States.
Really?
Yeah.
That one we went to in Costa Rica was pretty dope. Yeah. Do you remember what that was called?
That was called Kawa.
Oh, Kawa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the original spelling of coffee, Kawa.
Is that really?
Yeah, I believe it's Ethiopian for coffee.
Rad. So I follow a lot of coffee companies on social media, and I've tried quite a few of them. But one of the coolest projects, I think due to its simplicity and due to the quality of the coffee that's coming out of it, is a small company in Tampa, Florida called King State Coffee. And I have a bit of a sentimental connection to that particular company because the drummer from my favorite band from my formative years, Nathan Young, and his brother-in-law started that. His brother-in-law is actually in the band Under Oath. So just, again, it sort of appealed to me sentimentally. But then Nathan and I got the opportunity to kind of correspond in terms of coffee, and we traded some coffees, and I've just been following what they're doing. It's super cool. Really, again, simple. They just run a couple of coffees at a time, but they're really solid, really well selected, and I'm really looking forward to see what those guys do in the future. In terms of sort of bigger projects, I mean, it's hard to go wrong with Intelligentsia. I mean, they're bigger, but the quality that they produce generally is pretty solid stuff. So you're kind of safe there. I'm trying to think of something. Oh, I went to Palace in Amarillo. Palace Coffee there in Amarillo and Canyon. And I think they're going to spread because they just execute really, really well. Their owner's a really nice guy. He's really involved in SCAA. And they've had barista competitors come out of there. just really just kind of out there by themselves, but they do a great job sort of in isolation, and they're getting national recognition for it because anytime anybody rolls through there, it's pretty solid stuff.
Another coffee shop I would like to hit up, my girlfriend is from Cincinnati, so I get to go down that way quite a bit. Deep Roots Coffee just put in a really rad coffee shop down there, and I go down maybe a couple times a year, but every time my girlfriend goes down, I have her bring me something back. So usually, we cross past sourcing, so I kind of know where they're working, how they're working, but I always have a really good experience when I go in there, super friendly. And what's weird is what sticks out to me isn't, like, really rad spaces or, like, the best coffee I've ever had. I mean, the best coffee, I might rank that up there. But it's the overall experience I get from sitting in that cafe. What kind of customer service am I getting? How much attention am I getting from the baristas? Not attention like, oh, you're a coffee guy. Oh, you run the Stone Creek Coffee podcast. No. Like, how much attention are they giving every single customer? And that kind of experience, like, that... If you're really great, I'll remember it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not well enough known for people actually to stop and give me special attention, so I tend to get that the real customer experience. One place I want to go that I haven't been, but just based on reputation, is Onyx Coffee Lab in Arkansas. Like, they've got a couple locations. I think 3 locations now. But everything I see from them is pretty stellar, and some of the nicest freaking people. Like, really, really nice people. Andrea... one of the co-owners, she just was runner-up in the National Barista Competition, so congrats to her. That's definitely a place I'd like to go see.
Yeah, they're real coffee geeks, and their branding marketing also shows that too. Coffee Sense, Coffee Geeks, good people.
Yeah. So we'll follow that up with, somebody asked us about the worst coffee, and we're not going to name brands, but really just talk about the experience of... sometimes you have a bad cup of coffee, right?
I'm not.
I got to figure out who said this.
Yeah, that's on your sheet, not mine.
Oh, Joshua Berg. So you got some coffee coming your way. You asked us, worst coffee you ever had. What are you going to say?
The worst coffee I've ever had is Cafe Brit, dark roasted, at the Aloft Hotel in Costa Rica. That stuff is undrinkable. And... that's saying a lot, and a lot of people like that coffee, and I don't know if it's the way that they brew it or the water that's down there, but man, it just tastes like rubber, tar, grossness, and I will actually avoid my cup of coffee in the morning when I'm down there, because it's just, like, it just turns my stomach. It's painful.
All right, my worst coffee ever, I actually drank at Stone Creek. It wasn't Stone Creek. We had gotten in some roasted samples from somebody we had some connection with as a company.
I remember this.
Yeah, there were 3 of them, and our owner, Eric, was like, hey, you know, taste these. I got these from somebody. They're like, okay, yeah, sure. Like, this is interesting. And so we go downstairs, and we brew them up, and Christian was in the lab, and I took a sip out of one, and I spit it out, like, just spit it out. And Christian goes, come on. Like, it can't be that bad. And then he took a sip. And then he spit it out. I mean, it tasted like something just went wrong. Like, there was a dead animal in the coffee. I don't know what happened. I think the sourcing was probably really rough. I think it appealed to the buyer because it was a natural, and I think they didn't understand naturals, but the fermentation had gone, like, really rancid. And then we tried the other couple of coffees, though, too, that were there. It wasn't just that one. Like, age and over-fermentation and defects had just...
This could, like, the complete opposite of what we would normally go and source. Now I'm remembering this. Yeah, that was a rough table. And I think what made us so upset is that where this coffee was being sold, there were a bunch of, like, high-end restaurants that were buying this stuff. And we're like, what? What's going on there?
Yeah.
You're serving this to your customers?
Yeah, I was wondering how much people were paying for that. Like, oh, man. Probably way too much. All right, cool. So thank you, Josh, or Joshua, or whatever you go by. Jay Dizzle. Our buddy from Long Miles Coffee, at Long Miles Ben, so Ben Carlson, just messaged us on the Instagrams, single best cup you've ever had. That's wow. Like, it's easy for me to come up with the worst, but then the single best is really hard. I remember this the most. There are 2 cups that were most impactful for me, and one of them was probably close to the best I've ever had. And the first one, just briefly, was like the first time I ever had a natural. I know it wasn't the best cup I ever had based on the reputation of the roaster, but it was sort of eye-opening. The second one was the first time I visited Stone Creek's Radio Milwaukee location before I was ever with the company. We were serving a geisha from Herbazoo Farm in Costa Rica. And I think I talked about that on the podcast before, but it was just like incredible, unlike any coffee I'd had. I had become a coffee geek, but was still just getting my feet wet in the specialty world and seeing what was out there in terms of coffee. And I know I've had some really high quality cups since then, but nothing sort of blew my mind like that one did. What about you? I mean, you've how many coffees do you think you've tasted?
Way a lot. A lot.
Hundreds of thousands.
Yeah. I can remember the most impactful was, I don't remember exactly where it was from, but that year it had been the runner-up to Esmeralda in Best of Panama, and it was a small bag, a 4-ounce bag of PT's Geisha that I brought in. And I remember the first time tasting that, and I brought it in to taste it with my staff. I was managing a cafe at the time, so I'm like, hey, I want you guys to taste what the second best coffee in the world right now tastes like. And just the aromatics and the flavors and the fact that I could walk all my staff through this really dynamic coffee, to me is like, hey man, this is a picture of what's out there. This is kind of a picture of what we could do. This is kind of cool to be the one finding the coffees now. So I'm always thinking about those really high-end cups that I've ever had. Let's do the one that we were talking about before that I think is really interesting. So Jeff Pond, who you said is your uncle.
Yeah, my uncle, who unfortunately can't hear, but he, like the rest of my family, is thankfully really supportive of what I do. So he kicked in a question, and I'm going to send him some coffee anyway.
So this question is really good, and we get this question a lot in cafes. What are the things that dictate how much caffeine is in a cup of coffee? And it's not as easy as it appears on face value, and I don't know if it appears easy, but
yeah, there's some rules of thumb that kind of make it seem easy, but it's actually not.
So Drew was talking a little bit before about how you brew the coffee can kind of help dictate the caffeine content. So I'll let him talk about that. Then I want to chime in with some coffee science and sourcing that might illuminate even more and confuse you even more.
But that's not normally our goal. So the sort of general rule is dark roast has less caffeine, light roast has more. And that's true to a very small degree. What is more impactful, though, is actually how strong your coffee is, so how concentrated your brew is. If you have really weak coffee, it's going to have a lot less caffeine than really strong coffee. So like that's why espresso has the sort of opinion that it's really, really high in caffeine, because it is. Like, it's not high in caffeine compared to a mug of coffee, but it's high compared to 2 ounces of coffee. So just having that understanding that roast doesn't impact caffeine content in your final beverage nearly as much as the actual concentration, the strength of your finally brewed beverage.
Yeah, and just for those of you that don't make espresso out there, we use about as much coffee in a puck of espresso, so a double shot of espresso, as we do in a V60. So obviously a lot more concentrated. The thing I was going to throw out there that's really confusing is that coffee is not necessarily dictated by origin in terms of caffeine content, and it's completely random. Like, it's per variety, kind of. Like, different varieties will have different amounts of caffeine. Digging a little bit into the science, I won't go too far into it. Caffeine is actually a protection mechanism that the coffee plant has. It gives it a slightly bitter flavor, so when animals go and chew on the plants or animals run away and don't eat the coffee cherries. There are actually some naturally decaffeinated varieties one is called Narina, which actually is pretty good, but it's pretty weak. So I don't know if we're going to see it hitting the market anytime soon. But you cannot really tell from the type of coffee how much caffeine content is in it, except if you're going for Robusta versus Arabica. And then we're talking different species of coffee. Robusta has more caffeine in it than Arabica, period.
We'll wrap. We got two more questions here, and both of them are kind of about Stone Creek, which this is the Stone Creek Coffee Podcast. I think people enjoy hearing about the company because it gives people And I think our dynamic actually gives people a unique perspective on coffee more as a company. Like, not only are we just trying to serve, like, find, brew, serve great coffee, but we're also trying to do it in a way that is viable for us, that is sustainable from farm to cup. And so we talk about that a lot compared to some other podcasts that just kind of focus on coffee or the industry at large. And so we got two questions kind of about the company. One of them was from Tim McKinney, who's my boy out in St. Paul. Do you live in St. Paul, man, or Minneapolis? But Tim asks, what do you feel Stone Creek Coffee offers that other coffee shops and roasteries don't? So I think the point here we want to dwell on is just kind of contrast, because everybody hits the market in a little bit different fashion. And it's not like, hey, we're the best at this. I mean, it'd be a little naive for us to think we're the best at anything, but I think it more boils down to the focus that we bring that maybe other people don't, or even what do we bring as different people to this company that's different. And so for me, where I would come down is I think actually the summation of our people, like how we hire and staff our cafes and focus on delivering a customer experience, not necessarily the most built out or ornate customer experience, but just daily accessible customer experience, is different than a lot of other specialty coffee roasters. And we just try and take that focus of accessibility and education to everything we do. It's not that a customer has to be educated to understand specialty coffee. It's that we just want to be able to teach them about what we love. It's not about educating in a sterile sense. It's about sharing. It's about sharing coffee. It's about sharing knowledge. It's about becoming better as people. So the people who work here at Stone Creek Coffee and make it for a long time are really, truly amazing people who are super passionate, who love coffee and love people. And that is a special thing for me, and I think customers experience that.
I would mirror the personal aspect of that, the educational personal aspect. I think that there are probably few coffee companies that the leaders will get upset when they're in a cafe and they see a barista not engaging with a customer about coffee. Like, I think that every time you interact with a customer, it's a touch point, and whether you're interacting about their day, making them feel unique and special, because that's something that we all like to have happen when we go someplace, is to be acknowledged. But then in order to take it to the next step, to bring in coffee knowledge and to interact about coffees and to share coffee experience, one of our co-owners wrote on the board last week, what makes Stone Creek special, and we're like, don't be an asshat. And I really do believe that, because if you go to a coffee shop and the baristas are super rude to you, or they're just ambivalent, you're not going to have a great experience. And when some of that happens in one of our cafes, I wager that barista isn't going to be working for us very much longer, because we built the system to find really amazing baristas to go in there and to give great customer service and then make great coffee on top of it.
Yeah, and I think the key is that it's customer service first. Like, we don't hire baristas, really. Like, most of the people who come to us have no experience as baristas. We hire them because we think that they will be great at customer service, because you can teach coffee. So if you love coffee starting off and you want to deliver something great and unique to customers, then you're off to a great start.
The other thing that makes us unique, but there are other roasters doing it, so unto us, is the way that we source and the amount of energy that we're putting into our sourcing our coffee on a weekly, daily, monthly basis. But as I said, there are other roasters out there that are putting as much energy into it, so.
Yeah, I think one other thing would be the sort of level of design we bring to, and this has been unique to the last 3.5 years or so of Stone Creek Coffee, is our partnership with LPW Design Studios, Patrick and Libby, and the work of our internal designer, Kim, led by Eric as our marketing director, to sort of represent the story of our coffee in a visual way, to tell the story. Like, a lot of people do sort of solid design work, but it kind of ends at their packaging and their space. Like, we're always producing educational tools and posters and just random stuff. Like, you should check out our May the 4th special run coffee that's going to be out. It'll have been out 3 days by the time you hear this, but it's just kind of a celebration of culture and geekiness, and it came about because of our stellar design team that really a lot of other companies don't have the luxury of having, but Patrick and Libby are good friends of Stone Creek Coffee, and we're really blessed to be able to have that sort of working relationship with them. All right. Biggest dream for the future of Stone Creek. This is from Aaron Bakash. Aaron Bacchash. So, biggest dream for the future of Stone Creek. You'd probably, there's 100 plus of us, probably 110 Stone Creekers right now, and you'd probably get 110 different answers to this question. But because we're the ones who do the podcast, I guess we have to answer from our perspective.
For me, I think my biggest dream for Stone Creek long term would be to provide an even more sustainable environment for both our producers and our employees. I think about how we source coffee and the prices that we pay for coffee and how sustainable it is for them to be able to do that at an even higher volume would just change more lives around the world. But we have to think about our baristas as well. And long term, if we're able to pay our baristas a little bit more money every single year, to me, I think that's kind of a win. And that gives them long-term sustainability and also gives us baristas that want to work for us long-term, which is just phenomenal. It's phenomenal. We have great people, and to keep them around here for even longer would be even better.
When I started in coffee, my sort of goal was, I was married at the time, and my wife and I had talked about having kids, and I wanted to just sort of make a living in coffee because it's what I sort of realized, hey, I really like this, so I want to see if I can give it a go and make a living. And, you know, being in my role, I've been able to do that, and that's great. So, you know, the question is more now from a kind of holistic approach to this thing is, how do you build something that lasts? Like, at Stone Creek Coffee, you know, there's 4,500 other coffee roasters in the United States. How do you build something special and unique? And it kind of goes to what Christian said in terms of being sustainable, in terms of your baristas and your producers. Like, whatever we end up doing, and I'm really open to sort of what it is and what it looks like, but I want to be really impactful in the people we work with. And part of it comes, I think you can trace that theme back to even Eric's vision when he started the company, of the idea that we all have a social obligation to the people around us and our suppliers, the coffee producers, the baristas, our customers. Like, we have an obligation to people because they're human beings, you know, not because we like them or not because they're nice or not because of what they believe, but because they're human beings and there's innate value wrapped up in that. And I don't know what that looks like yet, but I hope that by the time I'm done working in coffee, which I don't really anticipate there being an end to it, we can just look back and say, wow, these people were impacted by what we did and what we built. And I mean, I would like Stone Creek Coffee to grow in its impact. You know, if you impact one person, I think that's worthwhile. But if you can impact thousands and millions, why would you not do that? And so that's what I would like to see is Stone Creek grow in its impact and the profound nature of its impact as well. So we got at least a whole nother year coming up. I have no topics picked out for year two, though.
Sounds like y'all out there should email us some topics you want us to cover, and we'd be more than happy to do that.
Yeah, I have a couple questions I didn't get to today. Sorry about that, but you never know. We might tackle your topic in the future. And I think I'm going to do this. I'm just going to incentivize it. There will be free coffee for anybody whose name gets mentioned on the air. So if you've got a question or you're just out in search of good coffee, then throw a good question at us. And I mentioned on one of the social posts, it doesn't have to be explicitly about coffee. It can be about working in this industry. It can be about our jobs. Anything like that, we're happy to tackle if it's what you want to hear. So thanks for a year of following us. Definitely go back and catch some of the earlier episodes. It's been a fun learning experience. Good times. In the short term, next time we will talk about cold brew.
Part two. We recorded a podcast on cold brew about a year ago. It was a while ago. And when I was at our national Coffee Association conference, the Specialty Coffee Association of America, is identified that a lot of people were interested in cold brew, and it's kind of growing as a category. And if you go to the grocery store now, you can kind of see like 15, 20 different cold brew products on the shelf. So I kind of wanted to talk a little bit more about this growing category as cold brew, why people are into it, and how you can identify what actually is cold brew and how you can identify what isn't, because it's not as simple as it appears.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit more about what's on the market. I mean, it's evolved a lot in the past year.
We should drink some cold brew.
Yeah. We will. We will do a tasting
Sweet.
Of cold brew products next time, so you can catch that in 2 weeks. We'll talk a little bit more about how that is evolving, some of the more popular products out there right now, get you up to speed on everything you need to know there. We'll reiterate a few recipes and talk about our plans for cold brew in 2016.
So tune in next time when we have a new sign-off.
Catch you on the flippity-flop.
No.
Whatever you're sipping, sip slowly.
Cheesy, man.
What?
Cheesy.
Yeah, they're all cheesy. Yeah, the whole concept of a sign-off is cheesy.
Well, it doesn't have to be cheesy. It can be authentic. If we meet it.
The way it was.
And that's where the cookie crumbles.
And that's the way the cookie crumbles. And that's the way, I like it.
From Two Geeks. Have you listened to Car Talk? The producers make us sit in the basement and record a coffee podcast.
We are the producers, though.
Or the owners.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to the Stone Creek Coffee Podcast. Catch you next week.
Sounds super creepy.
Tune in next time when we reveal our new outro. Thanks for listening.
That's fine.